Our sermon text this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Acts 2, 1 through 13. Now hear the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Arise, O God, and scatter your enemies, that they would flee before you. Drive them away like smoke. Melt them with your fire. Then we, your people, will be glad and rejoice exceedingly before you. Provide from your goodness for the poor. For you have ascended on high and given your gifts to men, that you might dwell here. You have wounded the head of your enemy. Load us daily with your benefits. Give us, your people, power and strength. Speak to us now, O Lord, in your word by your Spirit. Give us understanding. Increase our love and our joy for you and our service to you. Move us with great zeal. We pray all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning from the sermon are spirit and power. Spirit and power. If you count, I will give you a count at the end of the service. Your words are spirit and power. Brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, happy Pentecost. Today is Pentecost Sunday, which Keith mentioned earlier. Now, what is Pentecost? The word Pentecost means 50. Pentecost is 50. And the original celebration of Pentecost occurred at Mount Sinai, chronicled in the book of Exodus. It was 50 days after the Passover. And it's when Moses ascended the mount so the law could descend to the people of God. Moses went up and the law came down. Pentecost was 50 days after deliverance through the Passover lamb. And Pentecost for Israel was one of the three Old Covenant feasts, including the Passover feast and the Feast of Booths. So there is a lot of background to the celebration of Pentecost. It didn't just drop out of the sky. It did drop out of the sky in the book of Acts, but it didn't come out of nowhere. Let's put it that way. The historical event of Pentecost in Acts 2 reveals the powerful coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. This happened 2,000 years ago in the city of Jerusalem. It was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why we commemorate Pentecost 50 days after Easter. We celebrated the Ascension 40 days after Easter when Jesus ascended. And Pentecost is 10 days later from Ascension. And Ascension and Pentecost go together. They go together in Scripture, in history. They go together for the church. Because in the Ascension, Jesus, our risen Lord, ascended into heaven. He took his seat at the right hand of the Father. Jesus was glorified due to his faithfulness. In the exaltation of the Son, his glorification in heaven, the Father bestowed upon him a coronation gift. A gift for doing a good job. The Father gave the Son a gift for doing a good job. And the Father's gift to the Son was the promise of the Spirit. Jesus told his apostles when he went up, when he ascended, that they were to remain in Jerusalem. And then the Father would give the promise. The Father would give the promised gift, and that would be the Spirit. And Jesus from heaven pours out his Spirit on his people. He gave gifts to men. The Spirit is the gift from the Father to the Son, and the Son shares the Spirit with us, his people. If you remember, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, the Spirit first came upon the Son when he descended like a dove in his baptism. And Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, performed powerful deeds throughout his earthly ministry. And now his sending the Spirit to us, his people, Jesus continues to do powerful things. Jesus continues to build his kingdom through history, through the labors of billions of Christians serving him throughout the world. The ascended Christ makes all things new, sitting on his throne and working in creation by his Spirit, by his Spirit-empowered church. And he began that work when the Spirit descended in a mighty and powerful way at Pentecost. Jesus sent the Spirit to form a new people, a new humanity, to serve him on earth. The Church of Jesus Christ, we are to bring new people out of the old humanity, to bring new people out of the old world. Jesus came to the Jews first, as we've heard in Acts 2. Jews from every nation under heaven were in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And the Spirit comes down rushing upon the apostles. He came over the apostles, just like he hovered over the waters to make the first creation. We talked about this with the kids at Bible Co-op on Friday. The Spirit was hovering over the waters in creation. He came over the waters in the flood. The Spirit came through the Red Sea for Israel in the Exodus. The Holy Spirit brings out new things from the old. This is what he would do in history. The Spirit would empower the people of God to reverse the old world divisions, sinful divisions, divisions of the curse of Babel. The Spirit would move humanity from confusion to order. Now remember from last Lord's Day, in the Ascension, Jesus sent his apostles to be his witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost ends of the earth. You will be witnesses of Jesus Christ. You will go to the nations to witness for Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ. How do we go? How do we witness? How do we continue the work of Jesus Christ on earth? How do we do that? By the Spirit. By the promised gift of the Spirit from the Father to the Son and to His people. You, Jesus said, you'll do great deeds in my name. Not by might, but by the Spirit. At Pentecost, the Spirit came upon the 12 as tongues of fire. The crowd recognized them as Galileans, and the Holy Spirit gave them utterance to speak, so that all the Jews in attendance in Jerusalem could understand them. From every nation under heaven, they could understand these 12 Galileans speaking. So the Spirit gave the words, and the Spirit gave understanding. It was not a scene of chaos. It was not a scene of disorder. No, it was a scene of understanding. Understanding what the apostles were saying. And it was a scene of conviction. The Jews understood what Peter preached and they were convicted. The apostle Peter preached the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And he called for his Jewish brethren to repent and believe. Peter says to his hearers, you killed Jesus. You killed our Lord. Repent, believe, be baptized, and you too will receive the Holy Spirit. That was Peter's application. Repent, be baptized, and receive the Spirit. Though some mocked them, said they were filled with new wine, and they were. Many there did believe by conviction of the Spirit. And the apostles baptized 3,000 that day. 3,000. That's a church growth movement. 3,000 that day. 3,000 to receive the Holy Spirit. 3,000 to then go back to their home countries, every country, every nation under heaven, with this gospel message. So the scene of Pentecost in Jerusalem with all these hearers, this was good for the world. The proclamation of the kingship of Jesus Christ to go to every nation under heaven. The spread of the gospel, the building of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit would bless his people by reversing that division of curse, that curse of division from Babel. God's punishment on man of chaos, disorder, will be replaced by the peace of God, true unity in Jesus Christ, and Spirit-empowered order. So that's what would flow out of this event at Pentecost. The peace of God in Christ, true unity in Christ, and Spirit-empowered order. If we enjoy any of that today, it's a gift from God. It's all of grace. Now, the Spirit's bringing of tongues in the first century, this was a powerful time in the history of Israel. And the Spirit's bringing of tongues, we are to look to the Old Covenant as our guide in this. What was this Spirit working of tongues? What was happening here? We go back to Deuteronomy 28, the book of the covenant for Israel. In Deuteronomy 28, the Lord gives Israel promise of blessings. If you obey God, you'll be blessed. And the promise of curses. If you disobey, you'll be cursed. So in Deuteronomy 28, the Lord said to Israel, if you break covenant, if you disobey God, the Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies. A nation whose language you will not understand. A nation of fierce countenance. So for Israel to break covenant, to not obey Yahweh, would result in judgment from an outside nation coming upon Israel, and the Jews would not understand the language that they heard. It was a judgment of tongues. For Israel, you disobey, you will not understand the judgment God brings. The prophet Isaiah, he also prophesied this in Isaiah 28, promise of judgment. For with stammering lips and another tongue, the Lord will speak to this people. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people who are in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us, for we've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we've hidden ourselves. No, your covenant with death will be annulled. Your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you. For morning by morning it will pass over, and by day and by night it will be a terror just to understand the report. God's people will be judged by another nation coming in, a people of a different tongue, a people of a different speech. Now this happened in the days of the exile for Israel. The book of Daniel, half of Daniel is written in the language of Aramaic, not Hebrew, in Aramaic, a different tongue as God's people are being judged. So in the first century, we have a repeat of this judgment. The spirit tongues that come upon Israel at this time is not some impressive or neat miracle God does. Look at all the weird tongues that the people of God can speak with. That's not what it's about. It was judgment. Because what did Israel do? Israel killed her Lord. Israel killed Jesus. And that's Peter's message here. You have crucified the Christ. You are being judged. And that would happen in the first century. The spirit coming in tongues was judgment that manifested itself as a legal case, just like the book of Hosea. Jesus promised the spirit would come upon his people. Keith mentioned this in his opening note, but to fill out this term for the spirit, he is a helper. That is how the spirit's identity is translated. But it's a legal term as well. John 16, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, disciples, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper," that's what Keith mentioned earlier, "the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me." Those are the Jews who rejected Jesus. They would be convicted for their rejection of the Christ. "Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." That's the judgment of Satan. So this is a legal case that God is bringing against his people for faithlessness to the covenant. And the Spirit came upon the apostles in the early church, in order to convict Israel of breaking covenant. The Spirit is a helper. The Spirit's also functioning as an attorney. And this legal case against Israel is twofold. First, it's judgment. Israel was being judged again, just like they were earlier, according to the book of Deuteronomy. They're being judged for faithlessness, for breaking covenant, and for killing her bridegroom. Acts 2, later on in Peter's message, Acts 2:36, Peter said to Israel, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." That's a pretty convicting argument there. That's a hefty charge. You killed your Lord. And the tongues, the languages, the spirits working there, that was to convict in order to bring repentance. The very next verse. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And that is the faithful response to conviction. It's not to make excuses. It's not to blame shift and find somebody else who's responsible. When you are convicted of your sin, what should I do? This is the first response at Pentecost. 3,000 responded this way. And that's good. That is a good and faithful response. But as the Spirit-led church continued to move around Israel to proclaim the gospel, many failed to believe. They opposed the work of the church. They opposed Jesus Christ. They did not repent, and it led to judgment in AD 70. The people remained in a state of confusion, and they were left in their sin. So when you read the book of Acts, you read of these tongues. Don't read this as some weird babble or indiscernible speech in the church today. That rips the dynamic right out of its context. This was historical judgment for Israel. The Lord gave the church the spirit gift, spirit tongues, to bring judgment and repentance. And that's good. That's grace. We want people to repent. And that's why we sing the Psalms. We sing those hefty words, those weighty words. Put the enemy to death. Scatter the wicked. We want the enemies of God, those who oppose God and his people, we want them to die so that they can be reborn as Christians. That's what we desire. That's why we sing those words. It's not that we take pleasure in their destruction. We image our Lord in this. He desires all to repent. So we sing those words so that the enemies would die and be reborn in Christ. So Jesus promised his disciples it'd be better for him to go, to leave them. Earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, you had one spirit-led man doing all these powerful deeds. And then he spread that out among his disciples to go forth and do some mighty deeds. But it would be better for him to go. Rather than have Moses judge Israel all by himself, it was better to have many judges serving the people of God. So Christ ascended so that the Spirit would come upon all of God's people, that we could all serve in the power of the Spirit. And the Spirit is promised to every disciple of Jesus Christ in our baptism. Peter said to them, "Repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So we're all led by the Spirit in service to Jesus Christ. He's promised to all of us. On the inside cover of your liturgy, in that opening verse, that meditative thought from Numbers 11:29, the scene for Israel in the wilderness, Moses said, when he was told that others were serving, and they wanted to limit it to Moses receiving the honor, Moses said, "Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his Spirit upon them." Rather than one man do all the Spirit work, oh, that all of God's people would have the Spirit to serve the Lord, that we would all be zealous for the Lord's sake. You've heard the priesthood of all believers, where every single one of us in our office or our vocation is serving the kingdom. It's not limited to one or a handful. We all serve as priests to Christ. But we also need a prophethood of all believers, where every single one of us is zealous for the Lord, empowered by the Spirit. And with that Spirit, we are empowered to recreate the world through faithful dominion. Each Christian, faithfully executing his or her vocation, we are empowered as the new humanity. We are not stuck in the old world. We are resurrected to newness of life. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation, empowered by the Spirit. And we labor zealously to build the Church of Christ and to extend the kingdom of God. And at Pentecost, the tongues of fire that the apostles had, that reveals to us the power that we have as the Church of Christ. We have a powerful prophetic voice. The apostles prophesied in the Spirit with divine revelation. That was a limited gift in history. But with the Word and the Spirit today, the church has a prophetic voice. Because each Christian has the gift of the Spirit. We don't have that same divine authority as the apostles. We don't have the same powerful spiritual gifts that Christians had in the first century, but we are not powerless, brothers and sisters. We are not lacking in the Spirit. Remember that famous passage in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah is standing before the cherubim in the Lord's holy presence. And he confesses, "Woe, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips." And the seraphim take that fiery coal and touch Isaiah's tongue. It says, "You are forgiven. Now speak with fire. Go proclaim the grace of God to the people." Christians today are led by the Spirit to speak with fire after we've been forgiven. The Spirit has come upon us that we could speak God's authoritative word with power to call people to repentance, just like Isaiah did. You've already heard this morning from Keith, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Now go and speak fire to the world. We are all fire breathers because of Pentecost. Therefore, now go declare the gospel to this nation. Call the people to repentance. Boys and girls, understand the power of your voice, which we've already heard this morning. Psalm 8 says that your singing silences the foe. You have a powerful voice, and that's why we want you to sing boldly with your tongues of fire. Boys and girls, think to yourselves, what kind of enemy would we fight with tongues of fire? Another fire breather? Perhaps a dragon? Your tongues of fire fight another fire-breathing dragon. But your tongues of fire overcome that fire-breathing dragon. This is like a recreation of the Exodus scene in Moses' day where the sorcerers throw their staff on the ground, the dragon staff, and then Moses' dragon staff eats it up. Kids, your fire-breathing voice devours the fire-breather, the dragon. Your spirit fire wins. So sing boldly with your tongues of fire. The prophet Ezekiel had to preach to dry bones in exile. He had to proclaim to dead men. They were given flesh and sinew, but it was the spirit breath coming from the prophet of God that brought the people to life. Without the prophetic word, they're still dead. There's zombies walking around. But the Spirit gives life to dead men, to a dead nation, a nation still stuck in old world divisions. Brothers and sisters, we live at a time of great confusion. One of the cultural battles of our day is over the dictionary, what you can say and what you can't say, what you can call this or what you can call that, which words or pronouns you're allowed to use or not use. And the wicked have abandoned any sense of order, any sense of consistency. This blessed nation in which we live has abandoned its foundational commitments to tradition and to unity. This nation is moving back into old world divisions, old world tribalism. It's pretty evident the wicked don't believe in truth. They only believe in power. Cancel culture. Forced apologies. Bake the cake, bend the knee, you bigots. That's the power of our day. And it's clearly a conflict where the division is increasing, the enmity is increasing. And the faithful response by God's people is not to retreat to our own tribes and our own bunkers and hold up. It's not to mirror the world and to abandon truth. No, we have truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus gives true freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from that tribalistic slavery of the old world, freedom of living by lies. Jesus sets us free from that. And we have the true power, the power of the Spirit, power from the ascended one. The ministry of the church is to bring true unity to the world and true peace. We can go back to the ascension of Jesus Christ and the descension of the Spirit. The Lord, in his mercy, remade a nation and started growing his kingdom. And it was the faithful and zealous commitment of Christians in the face of government oppression and cultural persecution to grow that kingdom. How did they do it? Acts 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The church today can be blessed with growth. We can resist the wily attacks of the enemy. We can commit to the word and the Spirit's leading. The power of the Spirit in preaching, in Bible instruction, in evangelism and apologetics. We can live by the power of the Spirit in parenting, in homeschooling, in family worship. We can live by the Spirit as He blesses us and strengthens marriages and building homes and faithfully executing our vocations for the kingdom. Whenever you take your daily task for the day, imagine yourself like Samson when the Spirit comes upon you and you can rip apart that lion and kill all those Philistines. When you're taking on that homeschool lesson or you're about to start family worship or you're going to go carry out your vocation, you are Samson and the Spirit comes upon you. So do it with zeal. Commit yourself to the Lord and commit yourself to one another to live out the kingdom life. Our Spirit-blessed relationships. And may the Lord give us opportunity to learn, to grow, to care for one another, and to witness, to declare the glorious kingdom of Jesus Christ. He is making all things new by His Spirit blazing through us, and our labors in remaking the world for Jesus' sake. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, who on this day did open the way of eternal life to every race and nation by the promised gift of your Holy Spirit. Shed abroad this gift throughout the world by the preaching of the gospel that may reach to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the same Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.